Hare Krishna. It is our great privilege and honor that we have amongst us Jai Pataka Maharaj, who's Haribo! Jai Pataka Maharaj ki! Jai Pataka Maharaj ki! Jai Pataka Maharaj ki! He's one of the senior most disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And with permission of Maharaj, I would like to say something about when you first came to India. This was in 1970. Jai Pataka Maharaj must have been at that time in his early 20s. And Prabhupada brought several of his disciples to Bombay. They came for lunch at my father's house. And Maharaj was, of course, one of them. Prabhupada told my father, who was a member of Parliament, Lok Sabha, that this young gentleman, whom you see here in the chair now, at that time he was Jai Pataka Prabhu. Am I correct, Maharaj? So, he wanted to become an Indian citizen from an American citizen. So, my father said, this is very strange. So many Indians want to become American citizens. Why does an American want to become an Indian citizen? And he wanted my father to sponsor him to become an Indian citizen. At this stage, Prabhupada made a phenomenal statement, which I still remember as I was a witness to it. I was standing there. And he said that this young man, at that time, Jai Pataka Prabhu, is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. He will always be in India. He will preach in India. He will have thousands and thousands of disciples who will be Indians. They will be from Bengal. He will preach in Bengali language. Now, please note, at that time, I could see total surprise on Maharaj's face. And it must have come as a shock to him. But anyway, I was right there as a witness. So I can say I'm now 70 years old. At that time, I was 30 years old. 40 years ago ki baat hai ye. 40 saal pehle. So then, by Krishna's mercy, Maharaj became an Indian citizen. And the first thing he did was to write to my father a thanks letter, which I have, the original one, signed with his pen, with his handwriting, and thanking my father for sponsoring him to become an Indian citizen. Maharaj, we welcome you with our deepest hearts and gratitude for coming to this temple. You have undergone so much difficulties, indescribable, how a human being can bear it, but you have been able to, for one purpose only, we know this, and that is to fulfill Prabhupada's desire to preach. And you started preaching straight away. So once more, thank you very much for coming to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. And with these few words, I would like Maharaj to give us his class. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Stand. It is right behind you.
Hello. I want to thank Srinathji first. As in 1970 on Radhasthani, I took sannyas. At that time, I was in under 11. So, it was a few years later, Prabhupada said that I should stay in India. Oh, he asked me, How do you like India? I said, I like it. I was feeling guilty because I thought that carrying out the order of the guru, it means that it should be something you don't like. Like you should really do it, like it should be hard. But I like living with the Indians and living in the Holy Dawn. So I was feeling guilty. The Prophet said, no, it's you're lucky, you're fortunate if you're. I like what the guru orders you. But whether you like it or not, you have to do it. Like, just because you like it, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You should do it whether you like it or not. So, I was actually refused citizenship from Bengal. We won't go into that, you know, the party there. So, I had to shift my residence over to London, and then here, Srinathji's father, who at that time was Rod Sutherland, and there was the there was what they called the United Front or something. No, but when I got the actual citizenship, he was the foreign minister, and there was a mix of the coalition. So, at that time, I had 13, once I got sponsored by Mr. Desai, and then I had like 7 ministers and 13 members of the parliament who also co-signed. So, if it wasn't for his father, I don't think they would have the guts. But they followed, and they also sponsored me. So like this, I had 30,000 petition from Bengal and Orissa, and all these VIPs. So somehow or another, I was number 96 on the list. That means since 1955, non-Commonwealth citizens, there are only 95. So I was number 96. So I'm speaking to you as an Indian citizen. So, anyway, I'm very deeply grateful to Srinathji's father, and I have no comment on the Prabhupada. Once I told him that he said, you're born in India before. And I said, well, I'm very sinful, how can I be born? And then he looked at me angry. He said, don't doubt the words of the guru. So, since then, I have no comment. But I'm very happy that we could, right now I already asked a number of devotees to do the Gaur Vandal Bhumi and also the to start working on the Navadvip Parikrama. Which we had already uncovered about 8 or 9 Lupta Tirthas. So, as long as I have in this body, I'm trying to carry out the orders that Prabhupada gave me. So, I'd like to offer my prayer to Prabhupada. Om Agana Chandranasya. Ananya Sakaya Taksalona Tasmai Sigovenoa. Half of my face is still paralyzed. They said there's little hope that it will come back. Today we saw some big expert. So I'll try to speak slowly. Can you understand what I'm saying? I guess that means yes. So, well, first, that means I want to express my gratitude to His Holiness Radha Swami, because from the moment I was sick, he asked his yatra in Vrindavan to pray for me. And last year at the yatra in Mayapur, he had asked them to pray that next year I will dance. Well, there's still a couple of months left before the yatra. Dr. Achyutananda, he gets me to walk. He can walk me alone. But I still, I need someone to steady me. But anyway, then Radha Swami came to see me when I was in the hospital in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. By the way, I've been telling everyone all the nice stories I heard, not all, but some, from the spiritual care department by Vishwarupa Das and his assistants. Some. This is very interesting, but that's not on the agenda tonight. So, but then I went to America, and I was taking some therapy there. So His Holiness Radha Swami said, "You should stay here. Your final duty is you have to become healthy." So I tried for about six and a half months. I made some improvement, but I still a little bit short of walking by myself. Anyway, Radha Swami has always been very encouraging. And he recently was in Houston. He phoned me up from Houston, where he stayed at Advaita Chandra and Kala Sudha's Adityas, his house for some days. Advaita Chandra is his Diksha disciple, and Kala Sudha is my Diksha disciple, but she's his Shiksha disciple. And Advaita Chandra, I think he's my Shiksha. But like this, we have also, there's a few by marriage. We have some cross. But anyway, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Radha Swami. Actually, he's doing a very great service. I found out by staying in, because I usually am here in India, and although I travel around the world, but I usually don't know the temple, the airport, and the road in between. So I don't see much tourist spots. So, but staying there 6 months, I could see that it was pretty hard to reach the Americans. But Radha Swami, by releasing his book, like he gets some nice press. He was on the Fox Network and others. So he's doing a very great service. So I know this is austerity for you, because you're deprived of his normal association. But what he's doing is something very historical, because no one has done before. this releasing of the book, like he is doing. So Rana Swami Ki, Rana Swami Ki, Rana Swami Ki. Now, they asked me today that to launch the observance of the Dhammar Puja. See, the month of Dhammar is a very special month because everything you do in that month, you get multiple benefits. There was a Shankarasura. He was so powerful that the devas were hiding in a cave from him in Mount Meru. So he didn't know where they were. So he decided he'll go to the Satyaloka, and there he will destroy the personified Vedas. And this way, the devas will lose their, if they don't have the Vedas, they'll lose their potency, and he'll reign supreme. So he went out to the Satyaloka, but the personified Vedas, they got the wind that he was coming, so they ran off, and he chased them. So they merged into the water. Now actually they dissolved themselves into the water. Now he thought they must be hiding somewhere. So he started looking in all the underwater mountains, caves, whatever. Where are these personified Vedas? But the Vedas had dissolved. So the Vedas, they thought, this is our chance. We have to go. Only Vishnu can save us. So they went to the side of the milk ocean, and there they began to, they thought, this month is the last month of the rainy season. So the Lord takes rest now. If he just abruptly wake him up, maybe he'll be angry, and that won't be useful. So let's chant Hare Krishna, and then this way, if he wakes up, he'll be very happy. So they began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Lord Kiradakshaya Vishnu, he woke up and he was really happy to see all the devas chanting. He felt so happy. He said, on this titi and on this month, whatever our Krishna conscious activity, whatever spiritual activity is done, I will give 100 times of benefit. Hare Rama. So the titi was Ekadasi, and the month was Dhammar, or Kartika. Hare Krishna. Is that a tissue? So that's why you get 100 times of the benefit. And in the month of Dhammarat, actually the Skanda Prana and other Pranas, they tell us that if we offer a lamp, the deities, we get thousands of times. But any other activity, you get 100. But offering a lamp to the deities is really very auspicious. In fact, it can liberate the forefathers. So we've been encouraging our devotees to get people to chant. So I wrote a letter to Prabhupada. I said that as a sannyasi, what should I do on the month of Ramadan as special? So he wrote that, you see, as a sannyasi living in the ashram, all the months, all the 12 months of the year, you get all the benefit because you attend all the functions and every day in the temple. So this is not so much for the regular customers because you're already getting, but this is for the new people. Like the shops, they have a sale, 70% off, 50% off. The regular customers they got, but they want to attract new customers. So that way Prabhupada wrote, this is to attract new customers. So I left it. But recently, about 6 years ago, we began to think, why not use this month of Dhamma to reach out Diwali and various holy days. I start going to the houses on Diwali because not so many people came to the temple. They are busy receiving guests. So we came with Prabhupada. It was in 1996 at his centennial. We came with a small deity of Prabhupada and we visited 50 houses. So and then I started to do that regularly every year. And we found that people, they were very happy to receive us. So then about, I forget, 2002 maybe, we started to, why not do this Dhamma to get everybody to offer lamps. Of course, in India, in our temples, people come. I get Mayapur Vrindavan here. I think you get people in the evening to come and offer a lamp. They could keep track how many people are offering, but also to reach out to get the concert groups or the Bhakti Diksha groups or the Namaha groups to reach out and also get everybody. So they did in Kuala Lumpur. First year they did 500 people. So they thought, oh, that's pretty good. Next year they got about 1,000. Because it went up and up. Last year, I think they did about 172,000. Now, suddenly got an idea that in some flea market outside of some big temple, they people set up and were selling stuff. So he brought, he went into one booth where he had a big fixture of Adalara and Yasoda and the Leela. As you know, there's a Leela and this month of Dhamma. And so he inaugurated it with a Prabhupada Maharaj and some sannyasis. And they started to do the, they invited all the people to come up and offer a lamp. So like that, he got tens of thousands of people in the marketplace to come and offer. So like this, he really boosted the whole thing. So like that, last year we heard that Bangladesh in the Middle East, they did about 4,000 homes, which all things. They have and this year their goal is to double it and do 8,000. So, like this, Dhamma month is a very good opportunity to give people a lot of mercy. This is a simple offering of a lamp to Lord Dhamma. It gives them unlimited blessings. And because, of course, see, normally Adamara Krishna is not Ajita. He cannot be conquered. But he gets conquered by love of his mother. So it said that his mother wanted to tie him down, and she kept gathering different ropes. But every time, it came two fingers too short. So she got some more rope and then tried to tie it again, two fingers too short. And she tried again and again. So she was really sweating and wondering why it's not working. So Krishna, because of her desire, now as the mother of Krishna, because Lord wanted to protect Krishna. So she thought, I'll protect him if he's tied to a mortar. At the same time, Krishna never tied down unless he agrees to be tied, unless the devotee wants to tie him. So the two things are there, all finally he agreed, and therefore he was tied. So he came and he pulled down the twin Arjuna trees, which were actually two sons of Kulera, were cursed by Narayana Muni to be there as trees. So there's these two trees crashed down, and out came these sons of Nala Kulera and Mani Grilo, and they offered their obeisances to Krishna. And they said, we'll never make the same mistake again. Please bless us that we can serve you eternally. We can serve you eternally. So he was, he blessed them. And then they went back to the planet. So then, nonetheless, he came. Wow, what happened? These trees fell down. My son couldn't be hurt. Why did you sort of tie him up in such a dangerous place? And he asked the children, what happened? They said, well, the trees fell down. 2 billion guys came out, and they were held in the clothes and said, oh, kids, what imagination! What imagination! What really happened? This what happened? So, did it happen? 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 Say, Haribo.
Haribo!
Okay. I have to slow down. You got some water? So, we were in 1 year in Cuenca, Ecuador. It's the third city of Ecuador. And we were in the city hall. It was the month of Dhamma. So we had a picture of Dhamma. And we thought, why not try it? So he invited all the people. He came up and offered, at that time we didn't have a gilig. We offered candles. So he offered, asked the people, he come up and offer a candle to Lord Dhamma. And you'd be surprised, all these South American middle-aged people, they came up And he offered a lamp to Lord Dharma. So, what does the 100% mean? That's like a 99% discount. That means, say your favorite mobile phone is 10,000 rupees. All you have to say is 1%. How much is it? 100 rupees. So, your favorite mobile phone, if you get it for 100 rupees, would you have it? Or your car. Say there was a car that was 10 lakhs, Honda or something. So, 1%, how much? 10,000. If you get a brand new Honda for 10,000, you take it. So like this, you can get Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema, very easy, and it's done. So, of course, you're all regular customers, I think. But anyway, you can come and offer to the Radha Gopinath and Sri Gopal and the Tagore. You can offer a lamp. So, I'm very happy to inaugurate this Dhamma worship. Of course, we sing the a prayer every night. Namo Vishwam Satchidananda Rupam. So like that, every night we can offer these prayers. It's very good meditation on Krishna. So I do hope you'll take it that if you can't come to the temple, then offer in your house. Offer in your hostel, wherever you're staying. Because offering a lamp in the month of Dhamma is very, very special. So, I think that's what I wanted to say about Dhamma. They asked me also, I think about some life changes during my travels. I didn't really have time to think so much about. There are many things which touch me. Like in South India, we started the congregational program where we had small groups. And this one lady came up and she said, I live far from the temple and I can only come on some special days, maybe once a month. But now you have the Bhakti Diksha and Anahat, a group, meaning just 2 blocks away. So I go every week to that program. And because of your doing this, you have made me now Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Of course, when I was in the Bhakti Dhananda Hostel, every night I would hear the pastimes of the spiritual character. Vishnu told me that now they're recording and they're going to make a book. They should make a book because it's very interesting. There's so many pastimes, but one they told me that was very interesting that someone from Delhi, he was in the ICU, he was in the intensive care unit, and he had some magazines from different groups, spiritual groups. So the spiritual care rep asked, oh, you're interested in a spiritual life? And he said, yes, but I have one doubt. Every group says their founder is God. So who is really God? So she said, well, you read the Bhagavad Gita. I had the same doubt. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham Sarvatsattva Bhava, everything is coming from me. So Krishna is God. Really? 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 That's where I want to go. Who is God? Can I see that? Yeah, sure, sure, here. Bhakti. Ah, now I know, finally I know. Who is God? It's Krishna.
Haribol.
So, after he was released from the ICU, he started chanting 16 rounds, and I heard that he's on. So, like that, it was nice to hear these pastimes. And let's see. I had thought of a few more. My mother, my Purvashra mother, she would never tell me what, but she said she had a spiritual experience at the Ganges. One time she fell in the Ganges up to here, and she pulled up, and Prabhupada told her that you'll never get any sickness from here down. She got an anorexia, a type of stroke, on the very top of her brain. So then she came back to Mayapur again, and she did a full dip. So she thought in her will, but there was some other experience happened. She thought in her will, I want my ashes, I want to be cremated, I want my ashes to be put in the Ganges. So I had to, it was not easy to convince the pastor of her church that a portion of the ashes has to go to India. But that, we did that, and we satisfied her last desire. Let's see. There was one person, Dr. Steve, he said that when he was a teenager, he used to work at a gas station down the block from the Los Angeles Temple. So the devotees had invited him many times to come to the temple. Now he was an old man, elderly man, I won't say old, but elderly, and he had a son who was at the same place I was, taking therapy. So we requested him that he please come to the temple. So he wrote to Achyutananda that by the association of the devotees, he felt like his life had changed. So like this, every devotee, they meet so many people. We don't always see it, but they affect everyone around them. So, there was one lady she was a teacher and she attended a Bhakti Diksha group. So there they have a program, they have a discussion. So they were discussing that you are what you eat. And they showed like the picture of the cat and the tiger, that cats eat fish. So in your next life, those eat fish and you become a cat. And by hearing that, she decided, I don't need a cat. If by eating fish, I'm going to become a cat, forget it. So from then on, she became a pure vegetarian. Like this, we see some changes. But usually what I do is I give some chance that you can ask questions. I was thinking how here when Radhanath Swami is present, you all laugh. So somehow the laughter is very contagious, life-changing, life-transforming. But I was thinking that Prabhupada, he said, there's one a Gopal Bar story. This is he was a court. They had, at that time in Indian history, they had these court, many in the West they're called Jastava. I don't know what you call them. They're allowed to stoop on the king, and the king is allowed to stoop on them. But if the king sued on his ministers, they lose their respect. So this person, he was a person that could be officially sued on. So one day the king said, Prabhupada told this story, that Gopal, you are an ass. He said, no, there's a difference between an ass. No, Gopal, you are an ass. No, there's a difference between an ass. And he said, well, what's the difference? He measured out. The difference between him and the king is 6 feet. No laugh, see? So, the problem is saying how these humans, they are all connected to the Vedic culture. So there's a story how the I feel I can't bring here, but there's one story. You see, Gopal's son appeared and said, the king asked, where's your father, Gopal? And he said, my father has achieved Krishna prapta haigasa. So if you achieve Krishna, that's like saying he's gone, he's dead. So the father of the king's we're here, take 2,000 gold coins and then do the rice to your father. I'm very sorry to hear that. And then the son took the money, went home, gave to his father. Father paid all his debts. Next day, he appeared at the king's palace. Said, what? You're alive. Your son came here and said, you're a chief Krishna. So I did. He was wearing a chadar. He opened the chadar. He had a deity of Krishna. He said, see, here's Krishna. Gopal. He didn't get the money. Anyway, like that, there's this whole book of the stories by Gopal. Things that happened with Gopal. So sometimes Prabhupada told us some humor. He said even the humor in India was somehow indirectly, directly, it was connected to Krishna, connected to the Vedic culture. So, like that, he was telling us that we should appreciate India, that how India was a very special place. And I used to live in Mayapur when there were no one, just like six of us. So we had 35 rupees a week. Now you know, 35 rupees is nothing. But we, at that time, I thought, well, what to do with 35 rupees? We'd grow, I'd buy some seeds and grow some okra or some different subjects, or radish. So, when you grow a little piece of land, you get a huge quantity of subjects. Like, just a little land like this big, of radish, you get tons of radish. So finally the devotee said, no more radish. Please, I can't take it. No more radish. Because when you have, when you live off the land, whatever we get, we eat. So then we had okra, everyday okra. We had radish, everyday radish. So there, but this was the how he used to live. So I was a science of nature in a university. So I got the Indian, what's called ICAR, Council of Agricultural Research. I get the magazines and I read. And then I was bringing the, I found that and the urea, the nitrogen, and the potassium, and the phosphorus, these three things are needed to grow. So we got a very cheap price, the chicken droppings from a local chicken farm. So that had a very high manure level. But we spread all the chicken manure and they were growing the subjects and then rain. Oh, what a stink. After that, the workers said, I won't refuse to work. It stunk. So that, so like this, we were living, living in the, off the land in the very, probably city people in Bombay, so you don't know. But if you live in a village, what village life is like. So we dropped the chicken droppings. It didn't work. So you use calmer manure instead. That doesn't have a bad smell. So like this, we are learning how to survive with a very minimum allowance and minimum situation. So it was at that time, Prabhupada would visit us, and then he would say that he liked, he lived in, at that time he had only a grass hut. So one of the cows called Kalandut, she came by and she was eating the grass. And by accident, she knocked over one of our beehives because, and all the bees swarmed and they came on Prabhupada. And then he said, Jayadraga! What is this? And there are like thousands of these all around. And he said, I want to be high, moved away to some distant place. So like that. We learned to live using the local natural things, but it was not without its problems sometimes. So, like this, now you've seen Mayapur and Vrindavan, all these places that very much developed. When we were living there, there's a grass hut. So the Prabhupada said, keep the grass hut. Let everyone see, this is how it started. This is where it started out. And so the grass hut is still there. You can see it. At one time, that was Mayapur. Only that grass hut. So, living there with Srila Prabhupada, that was truly amazing. Because Prabhupada, he lived very simple there. He came and he told us that this house is sattvic. It's in the mode of goodness. But who'll come if you build like this? So you have to build the rajasic. We have to build with bricks and steel and concrete. We have to build with big temples and big houses, guest houses. And then people like to come and visit. So you come now and visit Mayapur. We got all these rajasic buildings. But at one point we were living in a sattvic house. Hello. So I heard that Chalpati is making some alternative farm project with yoga, health, so good luck. It's interesting. Is there any questions? Anyone has a question? Any of our ladies?
Hare Krishna. Kisi ko koi prashna puchna hai? Any questions? Well, on behalf of our devotees, Maharaj, we'd like to present this book by Radhanath Maharaj, Wisdom Articles, Soul Wise. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, also, this is the Damodar kit. We are starting straight away, following in your footsteps. You can release it, Maharaj. This is the actual. Opens up like this. This is the CD. This is the CD.
Vivo!
how they do the lamp. These are the exact wording of the Damodar Ashtakam. The word. This is being given freely.
Gold, this target?
5,000.
5,000.
5,000.
Who are you going to help?
This is everybody. Everybody.
I didn't see anybody chant.
Gaurang Prabhu is the leader. Gaurang, come on. Gaurang Prabhu is organizing everything. Come, come, you're the leader.
Saints. Gauranga.
Gauranga.
Okay, each gun counselor has a Genthin counselor, and each counselor has a quota. So, can you do one the quota?
According to the number of counselors, then they will have their.
So, don't make your counselor look bad. So, you see this kind of a rook. They can do it either easy in their home altar, and then they can do their dhamma puja. Like this, if you get their names and address, you can increase your number of a number of congregational members. I met one lady, she thought, she was at the, when I was at the Bhakti in the hospital, she thought that all religions are just after money. I heard how this kids are given freely. So, in her case, spiritual care rep, author, was reading the Bhagavad Gita for the father who was terminally ill with cancer. So she said to her, to this lady, that, would you like to read for your father? She said, how much it cost? No, it doesn't cost anything. You have the Bhagavad Gita free. Just read it. Free? I thought all religions are just after money. Oh, you can eat it free. Help your father to get back to God. So, later she came, they brought her to singing. And she said, now she chants 8 to 16 rounds. She dances sometimes the Monday or feast over there at the hospital. And she's like changed, transformed. So, now, this kits, everyone, if you get to your counselor, you give to your friends, neighbors, work colleagues, hostel, whoever it may be, you get the kits and get them to chant and offer the lamp to the donor. And this way they get blessings. I don't know if the blessings are given here. They're given and called for from different Puranas. How by doing the Dhamma Archis, you get so many generations get liberated and so on. Is that? Now, of course, we're only interested in shared bhakti, but then in the south, they're attracted by these side benefits.
Of the 12 months, Kartik is the most dear to Lord Krishna. To anyone who even slightly worships Lord Vishnu during its time, the month of Kartik gives him residence in Lord Vishnu's transcendental abode, Padma Puran. One who during the month of Kartik gives a small gift to Lord Vishnu attains a result that will never be destroyed, Skanda Puran. These are significance of Kartik Mass. Benefits of offering lamps. A person who offers a lamp in a temple of Lord Vishnu during a month of Kartik attains eternal wealth, good children, fame and glory. When one offers a lamp during the month of Kartik, his sins in many thousands and millions of births perish in half an eye blink, Skanda Puran. We have only mentioned this much.
There's more also, but this is what they mentioned. So, on this Dhamaran month, is a great chance to give people blessings. So, I hope that all of you take advantage, give the Dhamaran blessings, and that Achyutpati Iskand will be the new world leader in Dhamaran. It may take a few years. Everyone can help. Hi, Bob.
So, thank you, Maharaj, for coming here and giving us your valuable association. It has been an indeed very touching experience for all of us. We can see how Maharaj is sacrificing his life and soul for spreading Mahaprabhu's mission. In such difficulties also, he is tirelessly traveling all over the world, preaching Krishna consciousness. This has been a very, very amazing, heart-touching experience for all of us this evening. And we are especially grateful to you, Maharaj, for coming and inspiring us further in preaching the Lord's glories through this Damodar month by the beginning of this Damodar festival, which was inspired by him, especially in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. And we got inspired from that yatra, and we are trying to make our small attempt here at Chopati. And we would like to express our heartfelt gratitude to Maharaj for coming here and sharing some of his wonderful realizations. Very, very loudly, let us express our gratitude by chanting. His Holiness Jayapadak Swami Maharaj Ki! His Holiness Jayapadak Swami Maharaj Ki! His Holiness Jayapadak Swami Maharaj Ki! Srila Prabhupada Ki! Janitai Ko Premanande!
Hello.
No, Maharaj, we can only pay you by our enthusiasm to spread this as much as possible. Haribo!
Haribo! Standing evening with you, and I hope it will be one of many. I hope it will be one of many. Yeah. when he starts eating.
Haribo, Haribo. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyo vacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.